Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, it's the 11th of February 2019, and we have got a full-packed show ahead of you over the next hour. We're going to be talking about VLCDs, very low-calorie diets, and how potentially they can be quite damaging to your body. And we're also going to be talking about fibre and why fibre is so important to good health. We've also got a guest interview with our special guest this morning, Hazel. Hazel Cake. Good morning, Hazel.
Good morning, Neil.
It's lovely to have you on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.
And we're going to find out more about what Hazel does in about 20 minutes or so. So if you'd like to get in contact with the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. The Facebook page, if you go to Facebook and search the Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to like the show's Facebook page. You can listen again to this show and all previous 51 shows at the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And you can also find the show's iTunes podcast if you search the Health Matters Radio Show on iTunes. So a quick disclaimer before we crack on with the show. So the purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you might improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 first or speaking with your local pharmacist. All the content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience and my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. Right. So let's crack on with the interesting stuff. So VLCDs, very low calorie diets. Now, we've just gone through January. We know many, many people have New Year's resolutions to lose a bit of weight, a bit of body fat, to get healthier, and that is to be commended. However, VLCDs often come around, predominantly around the new year, because it can be, for some people, an easy way, or so I use the word easy very advisedly, an easy way to lose weight. And these are generally done by people who are focused more on improving, more on losing their weight than they are on improving their health. Okay, so in my opinion, if you're going to lose weight, focus on improving your health first and foremost, and then the weight kind of takes care of itself. But VLCDs, very low calorie diets, are generally done by people who are so focused on losing their weight, but not really paying attention to their health. So these tend to be quick fixes. They tend to be diet plans that are focused on around 1,000 calories a day or less. The dangers are they can be nutritionally deficient, and actually 1,000 calories a day is not a long-term solution. No one can survive long-term on 1,000 calories a day. So they do lead to short-term weight loss simply because you're not eating the right amount of calories to function properly, and the body then has to look to other sources of energy. But the problem is, there's many, many research papers into this, is most of the people that do VLCDs actually then put the weight gradually on as they come off of the diet. And these diets are not sustainable. And as we're going to find out, they can cause some long-term damage to the body. In fact, there's some meal replacements that have been connected to liver damage, which is obviously quite a serious issue. And there are very few long-term studies into the damage that these VLCDs do. And we're not just talking about physical damage to the body, as we're going to cover in a moment, and as I just mentioned, liver damage, but also the psychological damage that these VLCDs can do. Because generally speaking, people that do a VLCD, they either eat very few calories or they go on to meal replacements. It's not a long-term solution for most people. Very few people will be on a meal replacement plan for decades and decades and decades. So it's not a long-term solution. And if people do yo-yo diet, there potentially can be psychological issues surrounding that. So this is something to be to actually be concerned about. So how low is too low? Now, normally a man will eat between 2,000 and 2,800 calories on a normal day, and obviously depending on their activity levels, and women around 1600 to 2000 a day. So if you eat 1000 calories a day, then your body might have to it will have to find that energy from elsewhere. So you have a calorie deficiency and therefore you lose weight. But the danger is you might actually lose some of the important nutrients that you need to function properly. So the government comes up with these things called RDAs. Now, RDAs is a recommendation of how many particular nutrients we need, be they macronutrients or the more minor nutrients that we get in our diet. And the problem is when you cut your calories down low, you will tend to be deficient in some of these. So most people then will have to supplement in some way. And that's obviously why people go on the shakes, because they have things added to them. They have minerals and vitamins added to them. But often these are synthetic. They're not from natural sources. So at best, they're probably not very bioavailable. And at worst, like I said, there's no long-term studies as to the damage that these synthetic vitamins and minerals can do. You can also get gallstones. So when you go on low-calorie diets, when you lose weight too quickly, your liver secretes extra cholesterol. And that can lead to too much cholesterol in the bile, which can then lead on to gallstones. Now, I've never personally had gallstones, but I do know people that have had gallstones, and it's not a great place to be. The pain that gallstones can cause can be excruciating, but also gallstones can lead to things like nausea and vomiting and indigestion, heartburn, bloating, lots of other conditions as well. So, yeah, so not so good. They can also, as I mentioned, cause nausea. So when you go on a very low-calorie diet, you can be deficient in carbohydrates, and you can also be deficient in sodium as well, which can cause nausea. You can also get visual disturbances as a result of these low-calorie diets, which is obviously not so good. And they can make you feel very fatigued. So as your blood sugar starts to drop simply because you're not eating enough calories, then you can be fatigued, your energy levels can drop. And interestingly, the brain's energy source of preference is carbohydrate. So the brain can't use protein and it can't use fat for energy. It depends on carbohydrates. So when you actually cut your calories right down, then you can actually cut your calories to the brain. You can cut the glucose to the brain, which can have an effect on your thinking ability and your general cognition as well, which can then also lead to headaches. So if you're on a very low calorie diet and you get lots of headaches, then it's important to keep your fluid intake up too. And constipation comes into it. If you're not eating enough calories, you're possibly not eating enough fibre. And we will come on to fibre towards the end of the show. But if you're not eating enough fibre, then that can affect your digestive system, that can affect your gut bacteria, and that can really affect your digestive health. So it can lead on to constipation. If you're a woman and you do a very low calorie diet, and certainly if you do it over a long period of time, then it can massively affect your hormones. And one of the ways that it can affect your hormones is it can affect your menstrual cycle. So if you're on a very low calorie diet over a long period of time, in some cases, and it has been documented, some women have actually stopped having their period. Now, that's obviously not a good thing. And it's just showing you how these very low calorie diets can affect your hormones. Weight gain. Well, lots of people go on these VLCDs time and time again. I know a few people on them at the minute, and it's not the first time that they've been doing it. And you kind of think, well, if you want to lose weight, why not do it safely and sustainably? Okay, it might take you a bit longer, but you'll learn stuff along the way and you'll make it a lifestyle change rather than just dropping your calories down for, you know, 2 or 3 months. So if you want to stop the yo-yo diet and that whole yo-yo diet routine, then just learn how to eat proper food, exercise a bit more, eat real food, be accountable to a coach, and certainly be accountable to yourself. And then what you'll find is you won't have to do silly low-calorie diets. What you'll have is you'll have the knowledge to be able to do this for the rest of your life. And this needs to be a lifestyle change, okay? This is a long-term solution. It isn't a quick fix. Stop looking for quick fixes, because if it's taking you 10, 20 years to get to where you are, expecting to actually reverse that in 2 or 3 months, not only is it unrealistic, it's potentially unsustainable and also dangerous as well. So if you do decide to do a VLCD, my advice is go and see your GP first, because it's not for everyone and potentially they can be quite dangerous. And in my opinion, a VLCD should be a last resort. It shouldn't be the first port of call. Okay, so if you're looking, if you're needing to lose body fat, and if you want to lose body fat and you're going to take action to do that, I commend you. But see a VLCD as the last resort. And if you do decide to do a VLCD, please do it under proper supervision, because they can be quite dangerous. So if you don't want to do a VLCD, what can you do? Well, there are better options than just cutting your calories. So exercise is a key thing. So building muscle through weight training 5 days a week, that's good. Do more cardio, maybe a bit of jogging, or even just walking is good for you. So become more physically active. Eat less processed foods, cut down on the sugars. We've covered sugar so many times on the show. So cut down on the sugary foods. Eat at regular intervals and consume more omega-3 fats. We're going to come on to inflammation and fibre towards the end of the show, but omega-3 fats actually help to reduce inflammation. Get adequate sleep. Actually, sleep, good quantity and good quality of sleep actually helps in weight management. As I mentioned, avoid these unsustainable yo-yo diets. They don't last for most people, which is why we have the typical New Year's resolution in January, going to lose some weight. By the end of January, they've lost a bit of weight. They're back in their old habits, eating the old food that caused them the problem in the first place. And then the cycle repeats year after year. Find ways to actually lose weight safely and sustainably. And be consistent, you know, stop yo-yo dieting, you know, educate yourself, make these lifestyle changes, you know, look at your calorie intake, look at your diet, start doing a food diary, eat unprocessed foods, whole foods, good quality proteins, complex carbohydrates, fruits, vegetables, grains, legumes, all the things that the human body was designed to eat, but in moderation. And I can't stress exercise enough. We live in such a sedentary society now, particularly in this country, where we just don't move enough. We know we're not exercising on a regular basis. And if you are carrying too much weight, and that just means going out for a half an hour walk around the block, then do that. Make that the starting point to actually getting more exercise in your day. And just remember sustainability, okay? Whatever you do, if you want to lose the weight and keep it off, like I say, if you follow natural ways to lose weight, you might find that the weight loss is slower, but the long-term payoff is you're not going to do damage to your health. You might actually improve your health and you'll keep the weight off potentially for the rest of your life, which is obviously what most people want to do. So hopefully that's helped. VLCDs, if you'd like to have more information about that, or you'd like to contact me about it offline, then please drop me an email and we'll be in touch from there. So after the break, we are going to go on to our guest interview with Hazel. But before then, we have a quick song by Christina Aguilera.
After all you put me through, you think I despise you? But in the end, I wanna thank you, 'cause you made me that much stronger.
When I thought I knew you, thinking that too were true, I guess I couldn't trust. Caught your bluff, time is up, 'cause I've had enough. You were
bit faster, made my skin a little bit thicker, makes me that much smarter. Thanks for making me a fighter.
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show on Monday, the 11th of February 2019. I'm Neil De Silva, and I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. So before we go on to our guest interview with Hazel, just got a few shout-outs. Actually, got quite a few shout-outs, so bear with me while I mention these. I've just put them on the floor. Excuse me a second. So, okay, we have a shout-out for Janet Blake. Janet is a holistic therapist. Been doing it for 30 years. She does reflexology, aromatherapy. She's a Reiki master and teacher, crystal therapy, colour therapy, and lots of other things. She works from the Bay Clinic in St Mary's Bay, and her contact number is 07866 848334. Susie Brooks is an integrative therapist. She's an NLP master coach and hypnotherapist, and she can use one or a combination of all these therapies to get the best results for her clients. She offers a free consultation, and she can help with anxiety, self-confidence, stress, weight issues, phobias, insomnia, and bereavement, as well as other things as well. Her website is Susie with an S, so S-U-S-I-E, susiekbrooks.co.uk. Her phone number is 01622 842248. Lavinia Saunders, Lavinia, hi Lavinia. She is running a training session in Glastonbury on the 8th and 9th of June this year, called the Balance Procedure. And it's a 2-day course to help you discover how to create a balanced and abundant life. So if you'd like to find out more, Lavinia's phone number is 07909 962036. Lavinia is also running a 1-day fully accredited level 1 balance procedure course on the 30th of March in Gravesend, for those of you who can't get over to Glastonbury. She's offering an early bird offer at the moment, but again, contact Lavinia either via Facebook or via her phone number, which again is 07909 962036. Anita McCullerin, hi Anita, how are you? She is running a business lounge networking event on the 1st of March. So for more information, please find her on Facebook. Go to Facebook and search for Ocean Coaching. Kate Miles, hi Kate. Kate came on my show a few weeks ago now, so you can listen again to Kate's interview via my website. And Kate is an osteopath based on the Romney Marsh in Kent, and she is running an anxiety and support group. So if you go to Facebook and search the RMO Stress and Anxiety Support Group, in that group she offers live videos, self-help advice, recipes and lifestyle swaps to help people to manage their stress and improve their health. Gaynor Murphy. Gaynor runs the Shepherd and Crook pub in Burmarsh. She said it's a charming village freehouse pub. They serve pub classics as well as gluten-free and vegetarian and vegan options as well. So that's the Shepherd and Crook in Burmarsh. Sarah Richardson from the SARJ Group. Hi, Sarah. Sarah's asked for a shout-out for her company. They're based in Dartford. They're family-run and family-owned, and they design and create websites for businesses and individuals. And they can be found on Facebook and also at their website, which is www.sarj-group.co.uk. And finally, Judy Murray, again, a previous guest of mine. Judy came on the show about a year ago now. Judy is a hypnotherapist based in Kent, and Judy can help with things like stress and anxiety and other things as well, also with panic attacks and hypnobirthing and all sorts of lots of interesting things. So she can also help you improve your confidence as well. And Judy can be found on Facebook, and her website is www.jmhypnotherapy.co.uk. Right, that's enough for the shout outs for this week. Let's crack on with our guest interview. So today, as I mentioned, we have got Hazel Cake from hazelcake.co.uk, and we're going to find out more, a little bit more about what that name is and where it's come from in a moment. So before we start, Hazel, it's really good to have you on the show this morning. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Neil.
And I'm really interested in your background and how you got into doing what you're doing. And I found I've interviewed lots of people on this show over the last 18 months or so, And you're quite unique.
Thank you.
And I mean that in a really nice way, because I don't think, to my knowledge, we've ever had a guest come on where animals come into the equation. But we'll go on and we'll explain more a bit about that as the interview progresses. So let's crack on with your background. How did you get into what you're doing and what's been your journey up to now?
Well, I kind of fell into Reiki healing. And it was started off with, I was in a very dark time of my life, suffering with anxiety and depression, with some personal things going on. And I was hiding away and trying to do my front-faced customer service role for Rotherham Council. A friend of mine who I go camping with every year, she does healing, and I didn't know that at the time, and I hadn't seen her for a year. Mm-hmm. And when she met me, she just put her arm around me and she said, come with me, I'm going to give you some healing.
Okay.
And because I had nothing left, I was, okay, let's go. And mm-hmm. off we went into a little tent, and she put her hands on me, on my shoulders, and I can honestly say at that point it was the weirdest thing that had ever happened to me, because my whole body started to shake and wow. I was leaking, not crying, it was more like the body was weeping, you know, and it mm-hmm. felt as if she was pulling all these layers of just toxins and whatever else was just coming out of me. And at the end of it, she just gave me a bottle of water and said, you need to rest, you know, go and lay down.
Yeah.
So off I went back to my tent thinking, I don't know what's just happened. And I slept really well, woke up the next morning, and it was as if someone had switched a light on. I was back, and more than back, I was better than I'd ever felt, to be honest. Ran into my dad's caravan, and he said, well, what happened to you? And I said, Hertia, she'd done some Reiki. I don't know what this is, but I need to find out more because I feel amazing. That darkness had just lifted, and I had energy. I wanted to eat again. Just all those things that affect you when you're going through depression and anxiety had just completely yeah. gone, just from one treatment. So that made me want to research it.
So you knew nothing about Reiki up to that point?
Absolutely nothing. Never heard of it. Never experienced any of it. And I think if anybody had said, "Oh, energy," I probably would have gone, "Yeah, okay, you can." I'm not too sure about that, you know. Yeah. I was very on the fence with that kind of stuff. And it changed my life. So I went on to research about Reiki, found an amazing teacher.
Yeah.
And I did my level one, which I did just for me. It wasn't to go and heal the world or anything like that. I felt that I just needed some peace, and it really gave that to me. And I spent a year working on myself. And then from there, I ended up doing reflexology, Thai foot massage and some body massage and some other, you know, complementary courses. And I found that through when doing my case studies, that the Reiki healing would really boost all of that. And it was doing so much more than just having reflexology or body massage. And there was a lot of other things happening too, which would take another probably show to go into, to be honest.
And so talk to me more about this depression, because obviously, you know, mental health is the thing at the moment, yeah. and quite rightly so. You know, mental health issues have been, they've been stigmatised, they've been under the radar for a long time. And it's one of those things where if it's not a physical affliction, then society would like to prefer it doesn't exist and they would like to ignore it. But when you were suffering with the depression, how bad was it?
Very bad. Right. I was, I don't know how, because I managed to, because I was still in full-time employment. I was working for Rotherham Council at the time and I was in customer services. I was putting on a face, a complete mask, and yep. just dealing what these people needed to be done. And then when I walked out the door at the end of the day, it was like that dark cloud was back again. So I was using work as a distraction, which I know I've spoken to other people since and they do the same thing. But I just saw no light in anything. I was literally just getting up and going through the motions.
Yeah.
I'm a real people person. I love meeting new people and doing new things, but I really cut myself off. I was just, I'd go home and that would be me for the night. I didn't want to talk to anybody, and that would just be continuation. And it was just through something that I'd been through in my own personal life that had left me with a bit of trauma.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to deal with it. And I felt I couldn't talk to anybody. And
did you find it was starting to spiral out of control?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating right. You know, all of those things that you should be doing, I just stopped completely. And it all change as soon as I had that session. So.
And yet your public face was happy and nothing's wrong.
Yeah,
and
nobody knew.
Yeah, it's quite common. It reminds me of a song. I don't know if you've heard of a band called Paramore.
Yes, I have.
But they sung a song. She sung a song called Fake Happy.
Yeah.
And for people that do, for whatever reason, put on that facade of being happy, almost as a self-defense mechanism sometimes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, behind closed doors, they almost live a completely separate life. It is quite a sad situation. Lots of people then go down the route of medication and argue that medication can cause other issues down the line. But finding a way out of that depression, whatever way that might be, I think for most people, that's what they want, isn't it? Whether it's going down the route of pharmaceutical drugs or looking at mindfulness or looking at Reiki, whatever it is, they're almost looking for a solution. And it sounds like in your case, the solution kind of found you.
Yeah, which was amazing. And I'm so grateful for it. And hence why I'm now sharing it with the world.
And it's been a life changer.
It has been a massive life changer. Yeah.
So before we crack on with talking about your services in particular, got to ask the question, tell me more about the cake.
Everybody asks this question, where does it come from? The cake has been a nickname of mine that my dad and a few really close friends of mine gave to me when I was 15.
Friends.
I don't know whether I should call them
some
friends
called
anymore.
Friends.
And I, you know, it's not a secret, so it can be out there. But I'm not impressed with myself about it now. It's not healthy or nutritious, so please don't do it. But I ate 28 chocolate cream eclairs on a very long walk back to the campsite.
Let's stop for a moment. Let's just re-emphasise the point. 28.
28, yes.
Okay.
I get that a lot. They were meant to be shared and there was some left over, so people did get to share them. And I had breakfast, lunch and dinner as well. Growing girl at that point, what can I say? So it was actually, the nickname was Cream Cake.
Right.
And then, you know, that just got shortened to cake. So, and it still lives on.
And it's stuck.
It's stuck permanently.
All these years later.
Yes.
Very funny. When I first heard that story, it did make me chuckle. So, going back to your services and your business, obviously the Reiki took you on a journey.
Yeah.
And I do see that probably without exception, actually. All the guests that have been on my show, they've had a personal experience, and that personal experience has been a crossroads moment that's taken them in a completely new direction to help people who are going through what they themselves went through once upon a time. And obviously you can see it with you, obviously with the depression, and then getting involved in the Reiki kind of took you down this journey, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
So tell me more about the services that you offer and how you help people and how animals come into this. And this is the intriguing thing. When you first approached me to come on the show, I looked at your website and I just thought, wow, this is so different. So tell us a bit more.
Okay. So the Reiki I started off helping people. So the services that I provide is, if you were to come to me, we can work with your mind, body and spirit. So it's a very head-to-toe service. And the healing's not just, hands-on Reiki healing. I work with the reflexology, Thai foot, and I incorporate all of that into the treatment. It's really bespoke. It's whatever's needed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of intuition comes into that. So I get people that maybe come sometimes with depression, anxiety. They may have pain that they just want to, you know, they don't know how to release the pain that they've got, traumas, a whole list of different things, really. So I work with them, and sometimes there's a lot of coaching that goes in with that, depending on what's come out of a session. So it really helps people not just feel better, it's mentally improves them as well. So they go away a lot brighter than when they came in, just on one session. But it's very important to keep them up regular. The other thing with animals and how that came about was that's kind of gradually come in, the animals have. And
right.
That's also working with animals and their owners.
Okay.
So a lot of the time, animals, they do suffer from similar things that we do as humans, anxiety, stress, they may have had injuries, they may have had traumas, and they don't really know how to communicate that to us so that we can help them. And sometimes the owners don't understand that, and that's kind of where I come in, and I can do the healing with the animals and find out what's really going on with them and really help their owners as well. And if the owners actually have a healing session, it really helps to increase the bond and communication between owner and pet.
Wow. So just to emphasise the point, if someone needs your help, they don't need to have an animal.
No, they don't.
It's not one or the other.
No.
It's not working together with the animal or not at all. So if people need your help with the depression or anxiety or any of those areas, then you know if they haven't got a horse, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, no. I mean, it's nice if you have a horse. You know, I love the horsey cuddles. But if you don't, you don't need to have animals to come and see me, no.
So the Reiki extends beyond just humans, because on your website you talk about equine Reiki.
Yes, yeah.
And I think, as I say, for all the guests that I've met over the last 18 months or so, never had involvement with animals. I've always worked with human beings. So how does it work with the animals? What sort of successes have you had?
Amazing ones, actually. Really, really. It amazes me all the time I do it, especially with the equine Reiki, because horses are such sensitive animals. Mm. And they really, unlike humans, we're so much more complex. We sometimes are not sure really what the problem is or where it's coming from. We just know that there's something wrong and we don't know how to get help with that.
Yeah.
Whereas with animals, and particularly horses, is they're so sensitive. When I'm doing healing with them, they just show me what they need, where the area of healing is, and they can communicate that cross in such a way, and it's instantaneous. You can actually see it happening. I had a lady down in Somerset that I went to visit, and her horse Bonnie, absolutely beautiful horse, suffering with symptoms, I would say, of anxiety and stress, not being able to sit still, always moving around, and her owner was like, she's lame, I'm not sure what to do with her. And I went down to visit, and the horse that presented to me when I was doing the healing was not the horse that the lady described, because she just came down and she knew the energy. I can't tell you how, but this horse just knew. She came to me and she just pushed her body into my hands to receive the healing, and she took a full 45-minute session, which is amazing. And you could see the horse's eyes go doughy and licking and chewing, which is relaxation for them. And she just soaked it right up, and her owner was crying in disbelief, because she'd never seen a horse so chilled out and relaxed. And I then did a treatment with her owner as well, and it came about that she's actually very anxious and has all these worries, and the horse was taking that on and trying to help her owner, because that's what animals do. They really do absorb our energy, and without us even realizing. So through them both having the treatments, it just improved their bond, and we left with a much relaxed horse, much happier horse, and much happier owner. And now they've got some skills and techniques that they can use to continue that.
So can that be translated into other animals as well?
Like, yes, it can.
Dogs and cats.
I currently work with 10 dogs a week.
Really?
Yeah, they were rescued from Spain. They're absolutely amazing. And it does. It really does help them, and it helps the owners as well. It's just about understanding what they're trying to tell us, because sometimes their behaviour, whether it's something where they're chewing something all the time or whatever that is, there's a reason for it. And that's where the healing can help, and the sort of communication there as well.
So if you've got, say, a rescue dog, as an example, that maybe has been abused up to the point that it was rescued, so that, you know, the animal might have issues, can Reiki help in that sort of instance?
Yes, 100%, definitely. Firstly, it helps them relax to start off with, in the same way that it does for humans. And then from there, they'll really let you know what they need. And it can really clear some traumas for them and just help to release any anxieties that they have. And that can promote a massive change for them, and obviously then for their owner, because they've got a much happier, healthier dog.
And more stable.
And more stable, definitely.
Fascinating. Yeah. So back to humans.
Yes.
Tell me a bit more about your trip to Bosnia.
The Bosnia was absolutely amazing, and I feel totally blessed to have gone. And that actually came about from when I did my Reiki Masters.
Okay.
I went over to Holland to do that, and we'd booked in 4 weeks of loads of people coming for Reiki healing to give donations to actually help fund and pay for my master's course.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that time I'd quit my job, and that was when I was like, this is what I'm going to do with my life, you know. And the week before I got there, I was actually gifted the exact amount of money that I needed for my master's. So all of the money that was raised in the 4 weeks that I was doing my master's and doing all these amazing treatments with my teacher, we then used that money to go to Bosnia.
Okay.
We checked to see how much we had. We looked at all the tickets and everything, and we had the exact amount of money to the euro that we needed to go to Bosnia and get back again, which absolutely amazed me. So I thought, definitely got to go. And when we got there, we worked with some amazing ladies that are actually still, they're still recouping from the War of 95.
Mm.
And they're still rebuilding their houses. They're still suffering, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. There's trust issues within the community. And so by us being there, they had some really nice Reiki treatments, and that really helped them come together as a community. And we got to teach some healing as well. So some of them actually now do Reiki in practice.
Yeah.
And they have a bit of a Reiki share group, and that really helps them to come together. And one of the ladies that we stayed with, Mihada, she's absolutely amazing. I mean, she lost all of her family, all the men in her family were massacred. And she, you know, is still living on and getting on with her life, even with the post-traumatic stress disorder that she has. And through doing sort of having Reiki healing, that's really helped her and pushed her forward. And it's made her now, I mean, she makes these amazing socks, which if you do go to my website, you will see. So if you're interested in buying something that's actually going to help someone else live and support their life, and you've got a lovely gift, then yeah, please do go and have a look.
It's so incredibly rewarding.
Definitely. It was, yeah. And I've been out there again, and I plan to go out there again at some point. And I'm still in touch with all those women, and they've become like family really to me.
Wow, amazing. Well, well done. I'm highly commended, I must say. I'm very, very impressed. So with the services that you do offer, so with the Reiki and helping people, I noted that you can help people in relationships or anxiety about moving house, or people with eating problems. Explain a little bit more about that.
Okay. Well, I actually have a current client, bless her. She's my eldest client, and she doesn't mind me saying she's 92, or
wow,
she will be soon.
Okay.
And bless her, she's actually has a condition that causes massive pain through one side of her face in all the nerves. And it actually made one side of her face, that lip, drop down. This was similar to, you know, what you would see with a stroke, but it wasn't a stroke that she's had.
Mm-hmm.
She came to me because she was just doesn't know what else to do and wanted to try Reiki. She was interested in it. So I said to her, you know, come and see me and have a taster session and see how you feel about it.
Yeah.
And she was absolutely amazed at the results. And as was I, to be honest, because that's not something that I had treated before. So I always say, you know, we can't say what's going to happen, but I can tell you that it will help you in some way.
Mm.
She came for an 8-week session, and in that 8 weeks, her lip went back up to where it was. She was then able to actually eat more because she couldn't. When she first came to me, she could barely even put a spoon of water in her mouth. She really had to struggle to take painkillers to actually work with the pain.
Yeah.
And now I often see her and she says, oh, you never guess what I did. What did I do? I say, what do you do? She said, I went for a roast dinner and it was amazing. And I've booked another dinner next week and I don't have to worry about what's on the menu. I know that I can eat that without the pain, and I can go for my walks and I can do what actually helps her maintain her health and well-being at the age of 92, which is pretty impressive.
It is, yeah.
She's very healthy.
Wow, that is very impressive. So fast forward to where we are now. Obviously 2019, we're still early in the year, but what are your plans for the coming 12 months?
So I have more plans with self-development for myself, because I like to keep that going. I think it's really important to keep working on yourself as well. So I'm doing animal communication diploma to try and help on my current skills that I have.
Okay.
So that's going to be something. I've got a lot of work to do with that. So I'll be looking for some case studies. So there might be some people with animals that are happy for me to do that. That would be great. And the other thing that I'm doing is I've organised a fundraiser for 7 Acre Horse Sanctuary. They're based in Catsfield and they have a beautiful horse there who's only 2 years old. His name's Victor.
Right.
And he's blind through cataracts.
Okay.
And needs one of those removed. And the other one, unfortunately, can't be removed, but one can, which would give him the gift of sight, which also gives him the gift of life, because without this operation, he would have to be put down. So we're trying to raise the funds for that. So we've got a great fundraiser in Hastings at the Pigs. It used to be the Pigs Paradise.
Right.
I think it's now called the Pigs Palace.
Okay.
And there's going to be some different therapists there doing massage, Reiki, Emmett therapy, and a lot of taster sessions. And we've even got some psychic mediums and a tarot reader as well.
Oh,
so
wow.
A full mix of stuff for people to come down and they can try that out and help raise money for this horse and hopefully help us to save his life.
So people want to find out more about the fundraiser. Is there a website that people can go to?
Yeah, if they go to, it's actually on the 7 Acre Horse Sanctuary Facebook page.
Okay.
That's, and it is 7 Acre Horse Sanctuary. If you put that in, you'll be able to find it.
Yep.
It's also on my page, on my hazelcake.reiki page on Facebook. There's a link on there. And we've even got a GoFundMe page on there as well. So you should be able to find those. So if you can't make it, but you would like to donate, that would be incredible. Or if you can't do either of those things, but you want to do something, just share it.
Yeah,
because that will help.
What I'll do is I'll put a link up to your Facebook page as well when I do some post promotion of this particular show.
That would be great.
So who would be your ideal client, and why do you think these people would come to you particularly?
Ideal clients are anybody that's looking to change their life and not just like a short-term fix. This is a long-term thing. It's a bit like you say, a lifestyle change, because that's what healing does. So anybody that's looking for a big change in their life, anybody that's maybe suffering from pain or anxiety or depression, but also particularly with the animals, I am looking for to work with more horses. This is something that's a bit of a passion of mine. So anybody with some horses, whether they're suffering from anxiety also, whether they've had injuries and they want to help increase their performance, even if they're just race horses, it doesn't have to be horses that are just, you know, at for pets or just for riding. It's in every type of equine, really. That would be, great. Just
brilliant.
Come and see
brilliant.
Me.
So if listeners want to get in touch with you, what's your preferred method of contact?
You can phone me directly on 07725 762 108, or you can visit me on my Facebook page, that's hazelcake.reiki, or even the website. If you want to go to the website, which is hazelcake.co.uk, there's a form on there you can fill out and that'll contact me as well. And also, you know, you can have a look and get a feel for the other things that I do.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Hazel. Thank you for coming on the show this morning. It's been genuinely interesting to find out more about what you do. And as I say, the uniqueness of involving animals as well. It's been really interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been really lovely to be here.
So after the break, we are going to continue with the show and we're going to have a quick chat about fibre.
Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive your dark moments. I can see no way, and all of the ghouls come out to play, and every demon wants his pound of flesh, but I'd like to keep some things to myself. I'd like to keep my
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 11th of February, 2019. So for the next couple of minutes, we're going to have a chat about fibre. Now, most people have heard of fibre. Not everyone knows actually what fibre is. So for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about it. And then what I'll do is I'll carry the discussion into next week's show, because there's loads and loads of benefits to actually eating the right amount of fibre. And by and large, in today's society, we are hugely deficient in fibre. So I'm going to cover the benefits on next week's show, but let's talk for a moment about what fibre is. So when we talk about fibre, what we're talking about is dietary fibre. And fibre is plant-based carbohydrates that basically we can't digest. So we have carbohydrates, things like sugars and starches that we can digest and we use for energy and our body uses in its metabolic processes. But fibre is a carbohydrate that does not get digested in the small intestine like other carbohydrates, and it makes its way into the large intestine. And when it's in the large intestine, it does lots of useful things. And one of the things it does is it actually feeds our bacteria. And so if you didn't know, we are outnumbered as human beings, about 10 to 1. So it's estimated there are around 10 trillion human cells in our body and around 100 trillion bacterial cells. I don't know who counted them. It wasn't me, but it's estimated that there's around 100 trillion. And these little guys actually perform a really important function in our body. It's a very symbiotic relationship. So we feed the bacteria, and in return, they excrete things like fatty acids that keep us healthy. Our immune system is massively influenced by our gut bacteria. So fibre is really important to keep those guys happy. And also it helps with our digestive system. It helps us to stay regular. It helps us to avoid diarrhoea, constipation and what have you. So there's three main types of fibre. We have soluble fibre. So soluble fibre actually helps us to slow down the emptying process in our stomach, which can help us not overeat. It can make us feel fuller. It also can help lower cholesterol, and it can stabilise blood sugar levels as well. And soluble fibre, in the presence of water, it actually goes into like a gel. And you can find that in things like fruits and vegetables, oats and barley and legumes as well. And so soluble fibre actually absorbs water, so it bulks out and it helps us with our digestive system to actually, as I say, stay regular and keep it all happy and healthy down there. So we have soluble fibre, then we have insoluble fibre. So insoluble fibre, the way I liken it, if you can imagine a washing up sponge, okay, so the spongy bit, the soft bit is the soluble fibre, and the green scoury bit, the harsher bit of the sponge, is the insoluble fibre. So you tend to find that in things like bran and seeds and nuts and cereals and whole grain breads. So it's a lot harsher than soluble fibre. And people that suffer with IBD have to be careful with the harsher stuff, because that can cause inflammation in the gut. And then we have resistant starch. So these are starches that can't get digested in the small intestine, but make it into the large intestine where it feeds the bacteria. And an example of resistant starch would be an underripe banana. So underripe bananas do have a lot of resistant starch in them, which can be good for your gut. So why is fibre important? Well, apart from helping you to undereat, it can actually improve cholesterol levels. It can improve your blood sugar levels. It can also help in the prevention of type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And it's been proven to mitigate the risk of bowel cancer as well. But we are out of time for this show. But what I'm going to do is on next week's show, we're going to continue the discussion about fibre. And again, I'm going to show you a number of ways that you can increase your fibre intake, and I'm going to talk about the benefits of eating more fibre as well. So I'd like to thank Hazel again for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
It's been great to have you on the show. If you'd like to get in contact with me between now and the next show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, please search the Health Matters Radio Show and like the show's Facebook page. As I mentioned, you can listen to this show and all previous Health Matters shows on the iTunes podcast. And also, if you'd like to contact me via my website, you can do so at www.i-nutrition.co.uk, and you can listen to the show again on the media page of my website. On next week's show, on the 18th of February, we have our guest, Natalie Shull, and Natalie is a lifestyle coach, and we'll be finding out more about what Natalie does next Monday. And after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you'd like to interact with me, please do so through social media or via my website. But until the same time next week, I'll see you again on Monday the 18th. Stay happy, stay healthy, and have a great week.
The heart is a blue. Play.